Luke chapter 8. And our text for this morning is that verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. So here we have another individual that we find down at the feet of Jesus. And if I could put a title to the message this morning, it would be "A Burden Too Heavy to Bear." A burden too heavy to bear. Following the mighty deliverance wrought by Christ in the life of a man called Legion, the Gadarenes made it clear that they did not want the Lord Jesus to stay any longer in their midst. And we read in the verse 37 of this chapter, "Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him," prayed him, "to depart from them." So the Lord didn't stay where he wasn't wanted. The same verse declares, "And he went up into the ship and returned back again." We need to point out that this was the last time that the Lord Jesus visited the land of Gadara. We never read of Christ returning to Gadara. He made one of his once-only visits, and there to rescue Legion. And when the men of Gadara rejected him, he left them, and left them to their sin, never to return again. How that should always be a warning to those who reject Christ, for the day will come when he will not return again. But if he was rejected in one place, the Lord Jesus was well received in another. Verse 40, "And it came to pass that when Jesus returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him." That word "received." The people gladly received him. The word "received" there means without reservation. They received him without reservation. In other words, they received him with open arms. They'd all been waiting for him. And when he arrived, they received him with open arms. So you have this great contrast. The men of Gadara rejected him. The men of Galilee received him. How many here are like the men of Gadara? For years you've rejected Christ. And how many here are like the men of Galilee who've received him without reservation, received him with open arms? That was certainly true of one man in particular. Because out of that multitude stepped one man. One man with a great burden upon his heart. A burden that he believed only Christ could lift. A problem that only Christ could solve. A need that only Christ could meet. So great, so heavy was that burden that it brought him to the knees of the Savior. It brought him to the feet of Christ. It was a burden for this man that was too heavy to bear. And so we read in verse 41, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age. And she was at the point of death. I want us, first of all, in this text of Scripture, to consider the man with a burden. A man with a burden. And here is a father who was burdened about one only daughter who was about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. Regarding this man with a burden, I want you to notice the person. How does our text begin? And behold, there came a man. A man. He may have been a ruler in the synagogue. He's just a man. That's what he was, a man. A man with a heavy burden. A man with a burden that he could not bear. And when he came to Christ that day, he came to the right person. He came to one who is also a man. Yes, I know he's the God-man. Two distinct natures in one person. God forever. He is the God-man. For example, you recall in John 4 when the Lord Jesus came to Jacob's well, and they asked the woman of Samaria to get him a drink. He was thirsty. That shows he's man. And then later on, after the Lord had ministered to her, she went back into the city and she said to the men of the city, "Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did." He's God. He's the God man. You recall that time whenever the Lord was with his disciples in the ship and he was fast asleep on a pillow. He's man. He was tired and weary. He fell asleep. And then the disciples in the midst of the storm came to the Savior and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he stood up and he rebuked the wind and there was a great calm. He's God. He's the God-man. See him stand there outside the tomb of Lazarus. And the dear Savior looked around and saw the people weeping. And it says, Jesus wept because he's man. But then he stood there. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth because he's God. He's the God-man. And so being man, he could identify with Jairus. He understood how he felt. He is the high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But he's man. Indeed, more often than not, when the Lord Jesus spoke about himself, he referred to himself as the Son of Man, so as to identify himself with the sorrows and the sufferings and the sighings of men. So when Jairus went to Christ in his sorrow, he fell at the feet of the dear Savior, a man of sorrows. A man who is acquainted with grief. And here we read about a man called Jairus. And when Christ stood in the judgment hall of Pilate, how did Pilate announce him? We read here that a man called Jairus came to Christ. Christ as a man. Pilate said, "Behold the man." Jairus was just a man. Christ is the man. In other words, there is none like him. And he was the man to carry Jairus' burden, the man to lift his spirits, the man to comfort his heart, the man who could turn Jairus' night into day. He's the man. The man who could identify with Jairus. So it is. Whatever your burden is, whatever your battles are, whatever has bruised and beaten you, there's only one person to come to. The man, Christ Jesus. Because you come to one who knows all about your struggles, because he's also a man. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care. That word care, casting all your care, that word care means to be drawn in different directions. The word means anxiety. I'm sure there are some here today, and at some time or another in your life, you've been anxious about something, and your thoughts and your heart and your mind has been drawn in different directions. You've said to a friend, you've said to yourself, I hardly know what way to turn. You've been filled with anxiety. The Lord, or Peter says, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he careth for you. Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. See, he does the caring. Cast all your anxiety on him. As the hymn writer has penned the words, all your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus. There's the person. We also here have the problem. Jairus made known to the Savior his problem. His daughter of 12 years of age lay dying. Regarding this problem, as we can understand, it was a real problem. It was a real problem. There's not a parent here who would like to be in Jairus' place. We know it was a real problem for Jairus and his wife. It was a burden that was too heavy to bear. That's what brought him to the feet of the Savior. But then in the very next verse, in verse 42, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. In verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. Isn't that interesting? Here we have a man. And when his daughter was born, a disease began working in this woman. Now, which was the worst? We look at these two individuals, and some may say, well, the problem Jairus had was the worst. Some may say, for this woman to suffer this for 12 years, her problem was the worst. You see, for Jairus, his problem was real. And for this woman, her problem was real too. She had suffered for 12 years. And she was not getting any better. And she wondered how long she would have this problem. Jairus' daughter was 12 years of age, but she was dying. Which was the worst? They were both real. The point is this. Whatever we think of Jairus, and whatever we think of this woman and their problems, that both of them brought them to Christ. Now here in this congregation today, you may say, well, I have a burden. Or I have a problem, and my problem is greater than your problem. My problem is greater than someone else's problem, but that someone else could say the same thing about you. The point I'm making is that whatever our burdens are, and whatever our problems are, whatever our needs are, they're real to us personally. And both Jairus and the woman brought their problems to Christ. He received the woman and he received the man. He lifted the woman's burden and he lifted the man's burden. And as we read in Psalm 55, verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. But that's what he did for Jairus. That's what he did for this woman. You're the person and the problem. There's a real problem. Regarding this problem, it concerned a relative. Those are very powerful words, aren't they? Very poignant words that we have here before us. For he had one only daughter. One only daughter. That really brings it home to us how heavy this burden was for Jairus. It was his only daughter, and she was only 12 years of age. Mark records it this way. Jairus said, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. Mark 5, verse 23. My one and only daughter, my little daughter. And those of us here today who are parents can understand Jairus and know what was in his heart when he used those words to describe his daughter. My only daughter, my little daughter. She's only 12 years of age. This, for Jairus, was a burden that was too heavy to bear. Where could he go? Well, he went to the Lord to beseech him to do something with her and for her. And isn't Jairus just one of a multitude of parents? Just one of a multitude of parents who carry a burden for their sons and their daughters. That son's not saved. That daughter has become wayward. And mom and dad are bearing and carrying a burden that they can hardly carry. It's so heavy. And they beseech the Lord to come and do something with that daughter. Come and do something with that son. Jairus is just one of many. I've often mentioned a dear lady in my congregation in Northern Ireland, a good godly wee woman. She had a son called Colin. Colin wasn't saved. Didn't matter whether it was when I was in the home visiting with this lady, or speaking to her in the house of God, or speaking to her at the door. Once I mentioned Colin's name, this woman started to cry. Didn't have to go any further, just mention her son's name, and she wept. And those tears told me how heavy her burden was for her son. Indeed, that son was her only son. And this child was Jairus' only daughter. And what did he do? He brought the matter to the Lord. He brought his burden to Christ. What can parents do? They pray, bring their burdens to the Lord, and leave them there. We notice also the place. We're told that Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue, and then we're told he fell down at Jesus' feet. He fell at the feet of one who was a greater ruler. He's the ruler of heaven and earth. Jairus was the ruler of a synagogue. Christ is ruler supreme. But when Jairus fell at the feet of Christ, when the Jairus took up this place, it was the place of humility. He readily and willingly fell at the feet of one who was greater than he. I'll tell you something, and we probably all know this. There's nothing like troubles and trials to humble us, to take away our pride, and to bring us to the feet of Christ. Maybe you have already been there, and you know what it's like, and how that trial, or that trouble, or that burden, or that problem has humbled you. Because you know it's a burden you can't carry alone, and you know it's a problem you can't solve alone. Doesn't this teach us that when we come to Christ with our needs and our burdens, we come to Christ in great humility? We come and bow down before him in great humility and cry to the Lord for help. James has told us in James 4, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's what he did for Jairus, and that's what he did particularly for his daughter. He lifted her up. It's the place of humility. For Jairus, it was also the place of helplessness. When Jairus fell down at the feet of Christ, he did so as a completely helpless individual. His daughter lay a dying. When he left home and made his way to where Christ was, he left a dying 12-year-old child. He was completely helpless to do anything about his situation. He was completely helpless to do anything with his daughter. And he fell at the feet of Christ. And for Jairus, it was the place of helplessness. When I ministered in my church over in Ulster, I ministered to a man and his wife. They had a daughter. Can't remember her age, but I'm guessing she was around about 12 years of age. And this daughter of theirs had very severe case of psoriasis. Covered her whole body. Every morning her mother had to go into the bedroom and hoover the carpet with all the dead skin that had fallen off her daughter at night. Her arms and her legs were all open sores. And the parents were brokenhearted. They'd been to doctors, they'd been to specialists, they'd been to physicians. She'd taken medication, had rubbed creams on, but nothing changed her condition. And I remember visiting them one day, and they told me that they had come to an end of themselves. They felt completely helpless. Seeing their daughter suffer. And parents know, you and I know, we would rather suffer. But they saw their child suffer every day and were brought to an end of themselves because they felt absolutely helpless. And they told me, they said this night, when their daughter went to bed, the two of them got down on their knees and they spent most of the night in prayer. Oh, they had prayed before, but not like this. This time, they were down at the feet of Christ and they spent hours and hours there in prayer. They were like Jairus in the place of helplessness. Do you know something? The Lord touched that daughter. And the Lord cured her. And I saw that girl a matter of months later, and I couldn't believe the difference. You know, sometimes that's where the Lord has to bring us. To the place of helplessness, because we always have this thought in our mind, well, I can work it out. I can do this or do that or do the other thing. We can work it out. But when all the props are removed and all the crutches are taken away, we're left helpless. It's then and maybe only then we fall down at the feet of Christ. Because that's where we find help. Just like another parent, another father, who came to the Lord and said to the Lord, have compassion on us, that is he and his son, have compassion on us and help us. That's all he could cry. Mark 9, verse 22. So it was a place of humility, the feet of Christ. It's a place of helplessness. It's a place of hopefulness. Jairus being in that place was an indication that he had placed all of his hope in the Lord. After all, where else could he go? I'll tell you something else. That hope was not misplaced. Because our dear Savior is the God of hope. Have we all not been there at some time or another? There down at Jesus' feet, placing all our hope in him to ease our burden, to solve our problem, to meet our need. He's our only hope. I can tell you that hope, as we've said, is not misplaced. As we read in Jeremiah 17 and verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Whose hope the Lord is. He's a blessed man. So we have then a man with a burden. We then have a man and his believing. We have here a remarkable example of true believing faith in the Son of God. When Jairus came to the Savior that day, he did so believing. Isn't that what the Lord told him? Verse 50, and when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe. Believe only, and she shall be made whole." First of all, you have his plea. His plea. We're told in verse 41, he fell down at Jesus' feet, besought him that he would come into his house. Mark adds a little detail that Luke doesn't include. Mark 5, verse 23, he besought him greatly. We can see from these words that this father was truly burdened about his daughter. He besought the Lord, he besought him greatly. The word besought, he besought him. That word besought means to be in want. To be in want. It's a word that may be used with reference to a man who's dying with thirst. And he beseeches someone to give him a drink of water. Now, we all know that thirst is a terrible thing. But we're very thankful that when we are thirsty, we can get a drink of cool water. But think about going for days without water. And our body is burning up with thirst. And someone comes along and they have water. And we beseech them to give us a drink of water. That's the word that's used here. That's how Jairus prayed. That's how earnest, that's how sincere he was. He cried out to the Lord for help the way a man dying of thirst would cry out for water. Now we can ask ourselves, when was the last time we prayed that way? It's a good test, isn't it? When was the last time we laid hold on God in that way, like a man dying of thirst and crying out for water? Well, that's how Jairus prayed. He cried out to the Lord to help him. He besought the Lord. No one could doubt Jairus' earnestness when he pleaded with the Lord, "I have a little daughter, and she's only 12 years of age. And when I left home, she was dying. Come to my house." We have his plea and we have his petition. He petitioned the Lord to come into his house. But Mark tells us, Mark 5, verse 23, "I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live." Talk about believing faith. Jairus believed what he said. Jairus believed this petition. He believed the Lord could raise up his daughter. First of all, he believed the Lord would come to his house. He believed the Lord would lay his hand upon her. He believed the Lord would raise her up. And he believed the Lord would give her life. Didn't matter how near death this child was, Jairus believed. Is that how we pray? Let's be honest. Is that how we pray? Didn't matter how dark was the hour. It didn't matter how heavy was the burden. Didn't matter how great was the problem. Jairus believed that God could raise up his daughter. Just as we read in Mark 9. In Mark 9 and verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out, that is, the evil spirit? And Jesus said unto them, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You need to believe when you pray. It's not a matter of saying your prayers. It's crying out to God like a dying man, dying of thirst, crying out for a glass of water. We come then to her persistence. Here's something quite remarkable in relation to Jairus. Look at what we have in verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. He besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years, and she lay dying. Now we go to Mark. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 23, we read, Jairus besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. So Luke says that Jairus' daughter lay dying. Mark says, the child was at the point of death. What did Matthew say? Mark, verse 35, the messenger came and said, thy daughter is dead. Troublest thou the master any further? Why trouble him anymore? But what do we read in Matthew? This is what we read in Matthew. Matthew 9, verse 18. There came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. See, the circumstances regarding his daughter did not change Jairus' belief in God. First of all, he said, come to my house. Then he said, my daughter is at the point of death. Then the message came, your daughter is dead. But that didn't change Jairus. My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her and she shall live. And when all seemed lost, when to others it seemed too late, listen, it's never too late with Christ, never. Jairus still believed that even though he knew his daughter was dead, still he believed. Still he trusted. Still He had faith in God. For Jairus, there was no giving up. How often have you prayed about something and you haven't seen an answer and you've given up? Instead of things getting better regarding that matter, they seem to have got worse. For Jairus, things got worse. When he went to the Lord at first, he said she lay a-dying. But while he was with the Lord, she died. It seemed to get worse. But listen, he didn't give up. No matter how impossible the situation was, as far as Jairus was concerned, Christ could still raise her up in answer to his prayer. Remember what the Lord said? The Lord Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. That word faint is an interesting word. The word faint there means cave in. Men ought always to pray and not to cave in. The word can also be rendered, don't desert your post. Men ought always to pray, don't desert your post. It also can be rendered to lose heart. Not interesting. Men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. How often have you lost heart for that son or daughter you're praying for? And when you started to pray, up until now, they seem to be further away from God than ever before. They seem harder in heart than ever before. They would have attended with you in the house of the Lord. They went to Sabbath school. They were in the Bible class. They would go to the Lord's house with you, but not anymore. And you've lost heart. Men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Jairus didn't lose heart. He persisted in prayer, even though the situation looked impossible. All things are possible to him that can, on Jesus' name, believe. Lord, I no more thy name blaspheme. Thy truth I lovingly receive. I can, I do believe in thee. All things are possible to me. In the last place, and very quickly, we have the man with a burden. We have a man and his believing. We have a man and his blessing. What Jairus did when he fell down at Jesus' feet was well rewarded. First of all, I want us to notice the master and his walk. Turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark gives us a fuller account of the events surrounding this great miracle. Mark chapter 5, when we read there in verse 24, we might read verse 23, get the context. He besought him greatly, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Verse 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Do you notice something there? Yes, we are told that many people followed him, and many people thronged him. there's only one person went with Jairus. Jesus went with him. It's the difference. And I've often thought that would have been a long, lonely, tearful journey. Back to his house, had Jairus to walk that road alone. Knowing what he was going back to. Knowing he was going back to see his 12-year-old still form lying on a bed. Knowing he had to try and comfort his wife. But he didn't have to do that. Says Jesus went with him. Isn't that great? It's always good to have the Lord with us at all times, but especially times of sorrow. And times whenever the night is dark, and times whenever the valley is deep. Because there in the valley, you'll always have the lily of the valleys. And there in the darkest night, you'll always have the bright and the morning star. The Lord will go with us. Like the two on the road to Emmaus. And there they walked, and there they reasoned, and there they were cast down. It was the third day, and the Lord hasn't risen as far as they were concerned. And then a stranger drew near and went with them. The Lord asked them, why are you sad? See? He went with those who were sad. Here he went with one who was sorrowful. The Master and his walk. Good to have the Lord walking with us. You have the Master and his word. You know, whenever we're going through a trial, it's what we need, isn't it? Need a word from the Lord. And the word for Jairus, fear not. The word for Jairus, verse 50, when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And we read then, in verse 54, and he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. So we need, isn't it? We need a word from the Lord. And the word for Jairus, fear not. It's all right. It's all right, Jairus. Your daughter may be dead. But sure, Jairus, I'm the resurrection and the life. And how often in our times of trial has the Lord been pleased to come and give us a word. A word that has comforted us. A word that has held us up. A word that has strengthened us. A word that we have rested upon. The Lord gave Jairus a word. You have the Master in his walk, the Master in his word, and then you have the Master and his work. It was a powerful work. Because he raised this young life, this young daughter, to life again. It was a proven work. These so-called faith healers, they have their big rallies. They get people up onto the stage. They make claims. Outrageous claims. But when the so-called healer puts his hand upon them, oh, they're healed. No evidence of it. There's evidence here. It was a proven work because we're told the damsel arose and walked. And the Lord told his parents, he commanded them to give her meat. Proven work. Doesn't the Lord do all things well? It was a perfect work. You read through that chapter, those verses, and there was a great crowd of people there weeping and wailing and all the rest of it. And then the Lord came and said, the child is not dead, she sleepeth. And they all started to laugh. Their sympathy didn't run very deep, sure didn't. One minute they're weeping and wailing, next minute they're laughing. Then the Lord, we're told, he put them all out. There's only seven people in the house. Peter, James, John. The two parents and the girl and Christ. Seven, we know, is the number of perfection. Seven is the number of completion. And that just emphasizes what Christ did in the house of Jairus that day was a perfect. Complete work. Nothing to be added to it. It's not what he does with salvation. It's a perfect work. A man who had a burden was too heavy to bear until he came to Christ. And all has changed. When Jesus comes to stay. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for the one who is the God-man. And there he stood in the house of Jairus, sympathizing with Jairus and his wife, then touching that young girl, raising her up. Oh Lord, we know her parents were astonished. And sure, Lord, thou art still raising young people, men and women, who are dead in trespasses and sin. Thou art still raising them up, giving them life eternal. And, oh Lord, it's not the first time that thou hast saved someone who was deep in sin. And when people heard it, they were astonished. Thank thee, Lord, for thy mighty power. Praise the Lord for thy power. Power in the word. There's power in the blood. There's power in the gospel. Oh, Lord, help us to preach it. And for any today, perhaps, and they are dead in their sin, Lord, raise them up by thy mighty power. Lord, be with us throughout this thy day. Bless our visitors, Lord. We pray it'll be a restful time for each. And we please, Lord, to return us to thy house this evening. Once again, to spend time around the word. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away.